The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
And there he is here on the Tony Curry Radio Network. We are talking our YouTube channel. That is Mark Ingram, the UAB Athletic Director, and that's why it's called the UAB Athletic Director's Chair. He joins us every single week right here on Tony Curry Radio. You can hear this show at least five times a week on the TKR app. Wherever you get your podcasts, we're available on every major industry and right here on our YouTube channel. Mark, how you doing, brother? What's going on?
Man, I'm great.
A little bit of a big ball game this Saturday night, wouldn't you say, between the hedges there in Athens?
Yeah, they're a decent team. We're looking forward to the opportunity.
Yeah. What I couldn't help but look at the line. I know it's 41.5. Vegas kind of knows something. But what a great opportunity.
Who's favored?
Yeah. Yeah, I may put a six-point tease on that line just to get it at 47, because I do think they'll get inside the number. And I know that Trent's talked to his team, and he always talks about what a great opportunity to get on a stage in front of the number. Anytime you get a chance to play the best, it's a great opportunity. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, the players love it. Yeah. You know, I don't know what fans think the players think of it, but the players love the opportunity to go and play these games. We do one a year. So, you know, last year we went to LSU. We've been to Texas A&M, Tennessee. This is our second time going to Georgia. So the players really went to Florida. They enjoy the opportunity to play in a big stadium that's sold out or nearly sold out. And I think it's fun for them. You know, they appreciate the opportunity, like I said. And it's not just something that people talk about. It's not like a coach speak kind of thing. The kids generally are genuinely enjoy going to these places. And, you know, at the end of the day, they're the same age.
Yeah.
They played with them. They probably got old high school teammates that are on those teams. They got people they played against in high school or in the past. So they really do look forward to it.
Now, I don't know the money aspect of it. I'm assuming there's a little bit of a payday here, but can you explain to me how the home at home works and when there isn't a home at home? Because a lot of people are questioning, why in the world was Alabama playing down in Orlando last weekend? How did South Florida get that home game?
Yeah, I don't know how they did that. I haven't looked into it, though. That came up, and I'm not sure if it's a home and home or a what's called a 2-for-1, which would be South Florida goes to Tuscaloosa twice and they go down there once. But, you know, South Florida plays where the Buccaneers play in Tampa. So they don't have an on-campus stadium. They have a big place. So, you know, if I was Alabama, certainly considering going down there because of the attraction of being able to play in another like stadium for a lot of their fans in an area where they probably recruit heavily, meaning just the state of Florida. There's value in that. You know, when I worked at Temple, we were able to do that with both Penn State and Notre Dame to get them to come to our place because Temple plays where the Eagles play.
Yeah.
But that's hard to do now. You know, it's not something they've been able to replicate either. So we were able to get that done, but it's not like you can do that. Not everybody sees that value the same. Some do, but it's harder than it sounds. But in these cases, so we're going to go play at Georgia. They're going to pay us to be there. It's called a guarantee game, meaning they guarantee us they will pay us this amount. They're not coming back to Birmingham, so it's a one-time game. When you play home-and-home series like we are doing currently with Louisiana Lafayette, and we've already played both games with Georgia Southern. So Georgia Southern came here last year. We go down there. There's no financial exchange.
Yeah.
The exchange is home and home. We play there, you play here. And the only conversation becomes, where does that series start? And you just, you know, it's when you're negotiating the deal with the other department, say, hey, look, we need a home game in that year. Can you start here? We know you're available.
Yeah.
Have a software package that pretty much everybody uses now called Gridiron. And I mean, that has been a lifesaver for everybody. We used to just get on the phone and start calling, you know, every single school that we could get, you know, do you need a game? Do you need a game? Until you find somebody that needs a game. And then you go, hey, do you need a game in this week? Oh, we don't need a game that week. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You know, so you go, but now we can just plug in, you know, 2027, home and home series starting here. And it shows everybody that's out there that's available. Doesn't mean they would do it. It just shows who's available to play. So you can at least narrow the search down to these schools and say, hey, can we talk about a future
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's great.
You mentioned Louisiana, obviously the loss this past weekend for UAB, and I was not in town. I show up at every UAB home game I can possibly be at, but I was actually visiting my son in Clemson watching one of their home games against FAU, and I was following the score, and I kept seeing delay, and I realized that it had to have something to do with the weather, and I can't imagine going, and I have not been part of a weather delay, but I know a lot of people increasingly more so are now part of weather delays, and it sucks. It sucks for the fan experience. You're sitting down there, and just when things seem to clear out, there's a flash, and you hope they don't see it, but they probably do. And next thing you know, it's another 30 minutes. Can you explain to me how that works and how this got started? Because I know as a fan, I'm like, it could be in the middle of a tornado. I was at the tornado game at Auburn several years ago. There was a tornado that was right outside the stadium. They didn't stop playing. Why did that change? And it is what it is. We're not going back. But can you explain that a little bit and just maybe some of your frustrations?
Yeah, I can't speak to the tornado. That's interesting. I didn't know that. But lightning, if you it's not about rain. It's about lightning and people, fans, kids, whomever getting struck by lightning. Yep. If it's within 7 miles, you have a 30-minute delay. So you've got a radar and you know, if there's a lightning strike inside that 7 mile zone, at any point, you have a 30-minute delay. And so we had about a 2-hour delay during the Lafayette game. We had a 25-ish minute delay at Georgia Southern. Some people don't even know it. We got off the bus. No joke. We pulled into Statesboro after being on the bus for over an hour. And all you want to do is stretch your legs and walk around for a second, you know, just walk out onto the field and come back and, you know, and start getting dressed. And no sooner than we got off the bus, we're walking down this little hill towards the locker room, and I mean, you could see this strike, you know, right on the other side of the stadium. And so we no sooner gotten off the bus, and they said, hey, sorry, everybody, but you're going to have to seek shelter. And well, now you're in somebody else's stadium, which may or may not have a lot of great shelter. You got a locker room, you're in the visiting locker room. It's almost always really small, really cramped. So now you're going to cram everybody into your space. You know, the home team has, in most cases, you know, they're larger, you know, they've got more space to work with. And in Georgia Southern's case, you know, player lounge, and they're walking around and they're spreading out, you know, and at Protective Stadium, I'll say this, that's the best visitor locker room setup anybody's going to ever have anywhere. Because it's set up to have, you know, whether it's a high school game or the soccer games or, you know, USFL games, it's set up to have two equal spaces. Yeah. So they actually have good space over here, but it's hard on the fan, because what are you supposed to do?
Is there a time limit based on when do you finally call the game?
Every conference is different on this. A lot of conferences say you cannot restart or restart a game after midnight, but the American Athletic Conference does not. It's it was just what it would have been between me and the other AD. If we had sat for too long, we might have finally said, hey, this is not healthy for the team. If the coaches or anybody sensed that the players felt like it was unsafe, meaning, man, we got warmed up. Now we're not warmed up. We got to rewarm up. It's too late at night. Yeah. You know, now there's plenty of people who kind of laugh about that too late at night. You're like, wait a minute, now on Friday or Saturday night, they're just getting ready to go out.
Let's get after it.
But it's different than going out, you know, dancing or something. That's very different than playing a football game.
Can you play football at 3 o'clock in the morning at Protective? Is that the city? City's okay with that?
Yeah. And that was another thing that came up this past week, is a question about sound, lights, or any of those sort of ordinances that might have precluded us, but you know, it didn't get anywhere close to that. I think if we'd have gotten to 10:30, 11 o'clock, you know, at night, we'd have started having to say, okay, how much longer are we going to go?
I'm thinking
here?
Promotion here, man. I'm thinking a midnight start. I'm saying a UAB midnight spot. I'm just telling you. I think a lot of people would show up for a midnight start. He is the athletic director for the UAB Blazers, UABSports.com. Check out their website. Everything you need to know about UAB athletics, you can check that out. And, of course, this is a UAB athletics chair. We call it the director's chair. We do it every single week right here on Tony Curry Radio. I do have an email here, info@TonyCurryRadio.net, that we'll talk about realignment again. This is not going to go away, but we do have an interesting scenario playing out here that I want to get your thoughts, because now it's the Pac-2, not the Pac-4, which is interesting. So we're, I guess we're moving in the right direction. Richard McCollum of Birmingham wanted to know, now that you're in the AAC and you're making more money, where does that extra money go for a school when you move from one conference to the next?
Yeah, so the great, Richard, thanks. The great part about the American, there's a lot of great things about it. Competition, better exposure for television, and yes, more money from the television contract. But we are on kind of a stair-step escalated fee structure, us and the other five schools coming out of Conference USA. We are not full members. So we're full in terms of competition, but not in terms of share.
Gotcha.
So we're getting about $1 million more than we got last year from Conference USA. However, we've got, for the first 5 years, we have to pay a $600,000, what's $594,000 entry fee and fee to the reserve account of the American. So really, $1 million is $400,000. However, now then there's this. The American covers costs for officials in both basketballs and football. So that's about, believe it or not, that's about a $400,000 expense that we do not have to incur anymore personally. It's on the conference. So the net improvement is about $800,000 for this first year. And again, it slowly stair steps up over the next 8 years before we get to a full, you know, financial share, which is, you know, hard. But again, based on competition and based on exposure, we feel like it's definitely worth it. So where does that money go? Well, you continue, just like everybody in your own house, we continue to see inflation when it comes to travel and meals and those kind of things. So, you know, our operating costs continue to rise, even if all we did was the same thing we did last year, stay in the same hotel and eat the same food. All those things are more expensive, gasoline, whatever. One of the added expenses in the American that's different than CUSA, we're really going to feel it in basketball, men's and women's. What we used to do is in CUSA, we'd have a travel partner concept where let's say we were going to play, and we play, if you remember, all conference games were Thursday, Saturday. Mm-hmm. So let's say men's basketball would play on Thursday at Southern Miss and then Saturday at Louisiana Tech. That's because those two teams were travel partners. So we'd go to Southern Miss, play them on Thursday, then we'd go up to La Tech, play them Saturday, and come home. Well, that's three travel legs instead of four. Gotcha. So that was a cost saver. At the same time, if men's basketball did that, women's basketball is doing that here. They were playing at home against Southern Miss and La Tech, and our travel partner was Middle Tennessee. So they would either play there on Thursday and here Saturday, or the opposite. Well, the difference here now in the American, because we're on television, television tells us what day we play. So we're not going to have that travel partner and save a leg of travel. We'll go out to somebody and back, and then out to somebody else and back. So we've got more travel legs in both men's and women's basketball than we had before. So, you know, trying to keep our coaches and their staffs of the programs that are performing well, trying to continue to increase their compensation to keep them, and which we get a lot of positive feedback. You know, we just extended Coach Kennedy. So we,
congratulations on that.
Thank you. Awesome. We get a lot of people say good things about it, but you know, you're trying to use those revenues for those things where you can. And again, you know, really just pay the bills and keep the lights on until the money really starts to be something that's kind of a more programmatical change in terms of size.
So when are you fully vested in the new conference?
Yeah, it's another 8 years.
It's 8 years.
Yeah. It's a long, long runway. So,
wow.
Yeah, it's tough.
That is.
But again, we're the same as the other five members coming in. So we did not have an opportunity to negotiate at all.
Is there a reason why it's 8 years? Is that normal? Well,
yeah, that would be a question for the existing members.
Wow, that's a long time.
We're joining, but at least the six of us are all the same.
Yeah.
It wasn't like San Antonio maybe negotiated a better deal than UAB, and UAB had a better deal than, you know, Florida Atlantic.
Yeah.
We're all the same.
A question we've been talking about, and we get all kinds of emails and questions about, of course, realignment. And we talked about now the Pac-2. Yep. Boise State Athletic Director Michael Walsh just had a very interesting idea and put it on paper. He actually did it earlier.
He's not the AD.
He's not the AD. Okay, that's what it said. Boise State AD Mike Walsh. It's not Mike Walsh?
No.
Who is Michael Walsh then?
Jeremiah Dickey.
Okay. Anyway, then it was misquoted in the article, and my apologies. Anyway, whoever Michael Walsh is has created an idea to take 24 teams in college football and build out in three different tiers and base it on promotion and relegation like they do in soccer. Now, in case you don't know how it works in some United leagues in soccer, the better you play, you get promoted from one tier to the next, and based on that tier, then perhaps you'd be part of the college football playoff, or perhaps you make more money from television revenue, or maybe you get into another conference. I'm not sure how this works. It is a really interesting idea, and interesting enough that when I read it, I thought, well, I mean, nuts and bolts. I mean, we have to do something here because we're looking for a place for these two teams. There's also been talk about the Mountain West or maybe the MAC or some other conference teaming up with the Pac-12. I don't know. But geographically, it does not work because they're so far out in the West Coast. What are your thoughts on a relegation and promotion type of platform for college football, or do you have a thought on it?
Well, I think it's really interesting. I'd love to know from the soccer leagues, what happens when you get relegated? Like, how does the fan base respond in terms of attendance and ticket sales and that kind of thing? Because I would think that that would be incredibly difficult. Look, they're doing it right. So it's curious, you know, do the salaries of the players change?
Cause they I think this is based off too. Let's be honest. Washington State has made a bowl game 7 of the last 8 years. One of the years they didn't do it was a COVID year. And you had Oregon State, the Beavers, who just won 10 games last year, and they're 15th in the country right now. You got a team that's a top 15 team. They need to be somewhere. They should be somewhere. And I think that's where they're looking at that relegation, the promotion type of thing. Go ahead. Continue.
I mean, I hear you. Sadly, I think what's happened now is about television markets and how many eyeballs can you bring to it. You know, before television was as popular as it now is, if you wanted to see teams play, you know, if you wanted to see Washington State play at Stanford, you used to have to go to that game.
Yeah.
You know, if you were a Cal fan, you wanted to watch them play at Oregon State, you had to get in the car and go to that game. Now it's all about television. You can see it on TV. Every game's televised. You don't have to go. So geography doesn't matter for the fan as much as it used to. So I think that's, you know, kind of a sad part of the realignment situation is rivalries and fan travel or less. And
can you just talk about as an athletic director, because you just went through this whole three-leg, four-leg thing and I almost got lost a little bit, and you're talking about traveling, and I realize that's part of your budget and everything, but to take a team from the West Coast and put them in the Big Ten or put them in the Big East or whatever, is it really that big of a deal? Or I mean, we're talking how many different trips, maybe one or two trips a year, an extra 2,000 or 3,000 miles. I mean, I'm just speaking from a fan standpoint. I know a lot of people are like, well, that's not the Southeastern Conference. Missouri's not in the Southeastern Conference. Well, it works. So, and just to incorporate a team so two teams don't get screwed on this deal, is it that big of a deal for Washington State to be in the AAC?
Yeah, what we looked at, you know, think about this. It's not about football. And so the problem is the decision gets made based on football, and football's impacted the least.
Exactly.
You know, football always travels on a charter jet because they have to.
Yeah.
You can't take 140 people on a commercial flight, right? So you have to charter your plane. So you're flying direct, nonstop, you know, on your football trip. So, you know, yeah, it might be a longer trip, but it's a simpler trip. When your volleyball team is going to go from, let's call it Birmingham to Pullman, Washington, it's a full day.
Yeah.
It's a full day of travel. It's a long way. It's a lot of travel. It's one, maybe even two stops to get there, which is hard. And then same thing coming back. I mean, so you're talking about several days to go up there and play a volleyball game. You're talking about missed class time. You're talking about, you know, just the exhaustion of that kind of travel. Look at anybody that travels much knows it's tiring to do it. And so it was less about football and more about every other sport.
Yeah,
the decision was being made on football.
That makes sense. That makes sense. Very, very good. All right. One final question.
You know, how about this, Tony? Think about this. If you're a baseball team and you're going to play a weekend series, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you're talking about a full day out there.
No, you're right. No, that makes sense. It makes sense.
It's a 5 to 6 day trip.
Yeah, that makes sense. And even if you have to do it once, it's probably too much.
Well, at some point, you're supposed to go to class.
All right. You like Steely Dan?
I like Steely Dan. Yeah.
You like the Eagles?
Oh, yeah.
You know, on this new Eagles tour they're doing, and they're continuing to add dates. They're just going to, they said they're going to keep playing as long as people keep coming out to see them play. They're going to keep playing. So they may be pull a Kiss thing here. It may go on for like another 60 years, right?
Yeah.
So Steely Dan is opening up for the Eagles, two of my favorite bands. I can't imagine, because I would pay $500 to see Steely Dan, and I'm getting two bands, two monster bands. It's a super group concert. I want you to tell me two super group shows that would be the perfect night of entertainment for Mark Ingram. Give me two of your favorite bands that could play on the same stage on the same night that would make up for the most incredible night of classic rock music for Mark Ingram.
Well, God bless Eddie Van Halen. He's no longer with us, so I can't say, I cannot include Van Halen the way that I would have a year ago if you'd asked that question. If Motley Crue was involved in this, if probably Kiss, Guns N' Roses, these are going to be, you know, these are all involved.
Kiss and Guns N' Roses, would that be your perfect night?
It'd be pretty good. Love Guns N' Roses. And I tell you who else is great. They're great live. And I know not everybody loves their music because maybe they think they're too heavy. I love Metallica.
Oh, yeah.
And watching them play live is great. So any of these, a blend of these shows would be a fun night for me.
So you would, you're going to love this Power Trip show coming up here out in Indio, California, coming up.
This is the thing you're trying to see with AC/DC, right?
Dude, it's on the 6th, 7th, and 8th. You got Guns N' Roses and Iron Maiden on Friday night. You got AC/DC and Judas Priest on Saturday night. And you got Metallica and Tool on Sunday night. And it's one ticket. You get in, $600 and you get in. But I think they've sold like 400,000 tickets, it sounds. And again, there's not a hotel within thousands of miles of the venue. So you get there, you just got to figure it out. And a lot of people obviously just want to go for one night. Good luck.
I mean, they're camping out.
It's going to be a mess anyway. All right. Great answer. Hey, thank you so much. Enjoy your trip to Athens. I hope UAB makes it respectable and hopes they can stay with him for a half, three quarters. Listen, that's what they said that LSU game a few years back.
Come on, man.
Listen, I'm all in, brother. You know,
we put our pants on one leg at a time, just like they do, Tony.
You put your cup on the same way they do.
We you know, the field is the same size here. The rim, you'll notice, is the same height as the one we have at Hickory.
You don't need to preach in my choir. I hear you, brother. Hey, safe travels, man. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, man. See you.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.